Grant and Tyler Show. Fun episode for you tonight. Grant is just a treat. He deserves to have his own podcast and brand that succeeds, and it shows through in this episode tonight. He and I discuss topics around the college football landscape all over the country, stuff that pertains to Iowa, specifically the Michigan State game later in the podcast, and we finish with Ward's winners. Kevin sucks. Let's have a day. Let's go. When I start the episode, Grant, there's always music to play because we used to play the music, right?
Yeah.
And then Kevin shit all over it.
Does the music not play at the start of the episode anymore?
Well, it does for the patrons, the listeners, yeah. The consumers.
So there's music. They just heard it.
You did just hear the music. But for us, and in my head, it wasn't the walk-on music that played there. It was like the... Dun 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 dun.
Oh, a little NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Tip of the cap to whoever did all the NFL theme songs for different networks, Fox and NBC. All of them are great.
They're just like they're Pavlovian almost. It's like a
they just get the blood pumping. I like the underrated too. Fastest 2 minutes, the music for that. Fantastics.
Fastest 2 minutes.
Yeah.
What's that?
You don't know the fastest 2 minutes?
No.
Like it's covering every game of the NFL in 2 minutes.
Can't say I've ever seen it.
What? I got to pull it up for you. You don't know?
Absolutely.
How did you play football for so long? You just avoided every single thing about the sport. Like, I don't understand. I don't get where...
I think you're asking a lot of the questions that our fans have been wondering, our listeners have been asking themselves for years at this point.
I guess... technically the two-minute drill. I think part of my take rebranded it to the fastest 2 minutes is the version they do of it.
Okay, so like this is Chris Berman, forever.
Okay. Like, do you know Chris Berman?
Okay, I may have seen it. I think it's ringing a bell, but I don't connect music with it.
It's got great music too.
Okay, what? We'll see if you can find it and pull it up. Right. We'll share it. And then, was this like a recap show the next day, or was this at the end of a Sunday, or what?
I'll be honest. I think SportsCenter plays it like six different times a week. But
okay. All right, sounds good.
It used to be like after, like before Sunday Night Football, you get Chris Berman being like down in Lexington. Lexington's
okay. NFL. But, I love his down in Lexington.
Yeah.
That was not a good Chris Berman, but I know his cadence and his voice is iconic. Welcome into the show tonight. There is no Kevin Ward. I don't know where he is. He sent us picks. Looks like he just went down the Big Ten slate. I took a quick glance at the picks he sent, and we'll do that for Ward's winners later. And Ward's winners is going to be without Ward man himself.
Yeah, what do we even
going to have to turn it to into? I don't know, Grant's. I don't know. Grant's G-Moms, G-Money. G-Money's
Game Barrage. I don't know what. I'm so distracted with trying to find the best Chris Berman video right now.
Grant's Game Pick. I guess Chris Berman.
I almost had to do it. I'm going to have to throw in the Dan Lanning timeout real quick. I'll throw in four extra podcasters to get just a five-yard break. Hold on. I need just 10 seconds.
Well, what a segue, because that's actually on the docket for tonight.
Okay. Let's talk about that. Sure.
Well, we got a question from.
Should I make the Chris Berman noises while you do it?
Could you play me? Well, actually,
underrated is just the
way
baseball. Under, by the way,
oh yeah,
baseball is a little back.
Can we get Chris Berman on the show? You think we can get him on here?
Probably there's not. A non-zero chance. I'm going to be totally honest. I feel like he goes on podcasts all the time.
We might be able to get him.
Like you know someone.
That who knows him.
Who knows him?
Probably Kittle. Could just hit up Kittle. I was talking to Kittle this weekend, actually.
Oh,
not going to name drop, but you know, George Kittle. Let me go to my Twitter because I got a good question on the Oregon thing. This was great. I actually love that, and I'm assuming that you saw it at this point too. The you know, like every coach does his presser, right? In fact, in prep for today's show with Eicholt, if you haven't listened, today, meaning we recorded it earlier today. If you're a Patreon member, you're listening Wednesday night, Thursday for the other people. I watched both KF's Tuesday presser. I watched his post-game presser from on Saturday. But I also went and I watched Jonathan Smith's presser for Michigan State. I wanted to hear what he had to say.
Sure.
Against, about Iowa and whatever questions he was answering for this week. Well, every coach does that. And so Lanning did his, right? And they asked him like, hey, is that a situation that you planned for? Was this intentional? Mm-hmm. And without coming out and saying the exact words, yes, it was intentional. We fudged the system a little bit. He's like, there are situations that you practice for and you prepare for. And, we were ready for something like that. And it was.
Yeah, he did coach talk. He did. I can neither confirm or deny at this time. But some people are saying yes.
But he all but openly said, yeah, we took advantage of a little bit of a loophole, if you will.
Yeah.
And they're already closing it down.
It's just crazy. I think you can't do it mid-season.
Oh no,
that's insane.
I think you have to allow it for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I'm not as big of an Ohio State hater as some of the rest of the Big Ten is, right? But if this was Iowa Northwestern and this rule comes into play, either team applies it, the NCAA is not even considering reviewing this rule.
I don't even know if it's a national story.
No one cares. Yeah. They'll be like, oh, stop complaining, guys. All right, you didn't know the rule book. Sorry.
This comes in from Marty on Twitter. Sent us a good DM. Thanks, Marty. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear your and Kevin's thoughts. It's going to be me and Grant's thoughts because Kevin just isn't committed to the cause here. The ethical versus competitive side of Oregon's admission to purposely putting more than 12 players or more than 11 players on the field. Why not put 50 players out there in parentheses? And Ole Miss being warned about faking injuries and then pretty blatantly doing it again this week. Where is the line? Is it kosher until there's a rule in the rule book preventing it? What message are we sending to kids? Is it the responsibility of a D1 football coach/program to worry about that? And maybe I'm just yelling at the clouds with all this, but I know you guys will give an honest take. Hashtag Hawks by a million. Absolutely, Marty. Hawks by a million. That's really all that matters around here.
I think putting the idea of that it just throwing out 50 guys on the field to get a penalty, hilarious. And I think someone should try it.
Could you imagine? Colorado just puts every guy they have.
Now, I think the idea of 12 is just one, what if they just don't notice?
Well, that's how do you know?
Yeah, because he's the idea of the play is we're on purpose getting a penalty. But if they just don't notice you have an extra defender out there, what's the harm anyway of that play? You get the stop and they're still deep anyway, and it burns. The point was that the play is going to burn time either way. This one just makes it 5 seconds. You're getting 5 seconds off no matter what. If we have 12 guys on the field, it's going to be pretty hard for them to get this playoff. We trust our defense.
Let me reset the table here for maybe anybody who's unfamiliar. I don't know how you would be at this point. And Grant, you correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. Or Ohio State's at midfield or just across midfield at this point?
Sure. Yeah.
They have 10 seconds left on the game clock.
Yep.
They need to get into range to kick a field goal. They have just previously, I think the play before that or two plays before that, got a penalty that sent them out of field goal range after they were in it.
Offensive pass interference. Yeah.
So Dan Lanning, coach of Oregon, throws out with 10 seconds on the clock, puts out a 12th man on defense. Or maybe Dan Lanning did not do it him personally, but the defensive coordinator or the D-backs coach.
Everyone on the coaching staff was well aware of what they were doing.
The D-back himself, who was the 12th man, probably knows he's the guy to go do that if they're in this situation. He runs out there, and what this does is it says, okay, here's what the potential outcomes of this play are. One, they catch us, they throw a flag, 4 or 5 or 6 maybe more seconds run off the clock, and they replay the play, right?
But you're giving up 5 yards.
But you're giving up 5 yards.
Yes.
Which in this case, if they're still more than, in your mind, 5 yards out of field goal range, you're okay with that.
Yeah, they needed probably 15.
Yes.
Which I think Lanning was comfortable with, if we can knock 5 seconds off the clock to get down to one more play.
Just down to one last play.
And they're still 10 yards away from field goal range.
It's a win-win.
We're good.
And so he does that. The opposite side is, well, what if they don't notice? Well, now you just have 12 guys on the field, and for them to execute on whatever play they have on that penultimate play,
it's going to be pretty difficult.
It's going to be really tough to get it to one of your receivers because you have 12 versus 11.
Yeah.
And the loophole is essentially like, when you get the penalty, sure, you get those yards, but you don't get the time back.
No.
Which is dumb. And I think that's pretty much where they're closing the loophole is like, okay, now from now on, the simple fix here is if an extra man penalty comes out at the end of the game, or maybe whenever, whatever time ran off the clock on the play where they were flagged for 12 men, it goes back on the clock.
Right.
So.
Which again, too, like, I don't think the time comes even in discussion. Like, let's say Dan Lanning ran this in the second quarter.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they're pleading to anyone about it because the time, like, no. The time thing is so specific to this.
It's very, very detailed to the specific situation they were in. Yes.
Right. So I don't know if, like, okay, I can see why Ohio State is obviously.
But this brings in the question
about it. Okay.
This brings in the question, what's the ethical stance here?
Which, first of all, when you throw in ethical, comparing it to the situation at Ole Miss right now is, I think, very smart. Because that's another, like, loophole rule thing that's been going on for a while, but Ole Miss specifically this year.
Happened to Iowa with Penn State.
I think Ole Miss has had, like, I think they said they've, like, stoppages of injuries, they have, like, 40 more than every other team in the country. It's crazy or something.
Oh, my God. Really?
It was I saw a number for it 2 weeks ago, and it was just
so they're blatantly doing it.
It was shockingly high number, right? Oh my God. And then I do want to be fair though. Mixed in there are very real injuries, like potentially life changing injuries.
So sure,
those you got to account for. Like those do exist, right?
Which, by the way, RIP to Aiden Hutchinson. Oh,
I'm very sad about that.
That's tough.
Very sad.
He's a dog.
We can maybe have a what trades does Dan Campbell need to make discussion now to
that'd be
put
great.
Put the lines in Super Bowl.
We could do that segment. Yeah, we could.
But
do that
segment. Where we was going with that seems so different than I'm just going to exploit this 12 man rule. Like the stoppage of play stuff is there even when you don't have timeouts because injuries are so uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're putting an injury in all the time. Then I can see like the ethics conversation coming. I don't really see Dan Lanning exploiting a rule to burn 5 more seconds as like an ethical dilemma. I think that's just like,
I agree.
Dan Lanning is like he broke the rule. Like he saw a gap and then he just took care of it. Like people, when someone takes a penalty, like they on purpose, let the clock run down to gain 5 more yards or 10 more yards to punt it.
Yeah. Same thing.
No one's like, this is an ethical discussion. Like, why are they on purpose breaking the rules?
Yeah, you're not allowed.
This is the exact same thing.
I look at it as in basketball, when you're up 3 and you foul, same kind of deal.
Sure. Right? Same thing.
A foul is an infraction of the game that you're playing, mm-hmm. right? It benefits the other team, similar to the 5-yard penalty you're going to get for having 12 men on the field. It benefits mm-hmm. the other team,
yeah.
but you're okay with the infraction that you're going to receive because in totality, it's going to give you a slight advantage. And you're just playing by the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, and I'm sure Ohio State fans don't agree with this because they're on the shit end of the stick. It's the rule, right? As of right now, it's the rule.
Yeah.
So it just happened to be the team that, the last team that ever had to be affected by it. And now it's going to be changed and that's okay. Like it is what it is.
And it's not Dan Lanning's fault that most people didn't know that that was the case either. Like I remember watching this in real time. I see the flag go or whatever. And it says 12 people. They count out on the graphic. They're like, oh, here's all 12 guys. And I was sitting there. I was like, how do you allow that to happen in that moment?
Yeah.
Like,
you're thinking,
I was like, what a disaster.
You're thinking, oh my God, Oregon's all out of sorts.
I was like, I was like, Dan, what, how do you let that happen? You're a good coach. But then it's like, oh, that actually was so smart. Like that was a 4-dimensional chess move. Like that.
Yeah. What you end up saying is, oh, Dan, you're a really good coach.
Yeah, and this is that's why I'm not coach. That's why I was at the bar instead. Like this
is like Grant. This is why Grant was 6 beers deep.
Yeah, but also if you're an Oregon fan in this situation, mm-hmm. you have got to feel so good. Not only did you just beat Ohio State, which is great, You have a great team. You're undefeated. Great. But also now you know that for the next few years, or as long as you can keep this guy, hopefully a long time, if you're an Oregon fan, you have just a absolute psycho coach who knows every single trick in the book and knows every single situation and what to do then. Like, you're feeling great. Like, you like, that is exactly what you want as a coach. Some people – I remember talking to I have some friends who are Michigan fans, like, back in the day. And they were like, I think Jim Harbaugh is too crazy. And I was like, crazy is, like, my second way I want someone to describe my football coach. Like, that's just – especially in college. Like,
I need that to be one of the the factors, right?
Like, I want someone who like that, who knows all the different stuff. Like, or like Kirk has instances like this all the time where it's like I still think about – and it almost worked perfectly, like Kirk four-dimensional chess move of like, we have a better chance of – we have this amazing punter last year. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is in the Minnesota game, and unfortunately it didn't work because the little Cooper DeJean incident, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
There was a situation where he punted on purpose because he was like, Torrey's going to pin this dude inside the five. Mm-hmm. We have a better chance of scoring by getting a safety. Mm-hmm. Because it's on the 2 yard line and our defense is stellar.
Yeah.
Then we do of trying to get like a 3rd and 5, which is not where you want to be. But again, I want someone who does stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Dan Lanning did stuff like that. You got to feel great as an Oregon fan.
If you're an Oregon fan, you definitely have, you're feeling like you got one of the best coaches, one of the most locked in.
Belichick did this stuff all the time and people were furious about it. But the dude also won Super Bowls like crazy.
Yeah. I think Oregon fans should be ecstatic. Last week, forgot to bring this up on the recap pod. We'll move on from the Oregon-Ohio State thing. That's our answer there. I think it doesn't cross an ethical line. You're just playing by the rules. There's always going to be some sort of exploitation. And to be honest, that's what kind of sports and competition is all about. You're playing up to what is allowed, and it is what it is. There was a polecat rant last week, Grant.
Are you upset that they call this a swinging gate now? That it's been rebranded.
Let's
run. It snapped on the left side. It's almost an offensive tackle snapping the ball.
Well, context: this is the Penn State USC game. An actual great game in the end. USC was kind of dogging them in the first half. Grant looked like number 4 Penn State was going to fall victim to the old travel across the country.
Well, they did cover, so they did fall victim, but
that's true. Shift out of this, and I believe this is one of their tight ends. He's certainly not a long snapper. Dude,
that's Tyler Warren, baby. That guy's a stud.
Was it Warren snapping the ball? Yes, it was. Tyler Warren snapped the ball, and then he caught the ball. You don't see that very often.
Had to make an unbelievable catch. I had to be pretty acrobatic with mine to reach back for the Colton shot put. This guy had to go like over a defender who actually ran with him. But he catches it, scores a touchdown, and I was sent this by multiple people in the Warren Sharp Twitter account said, I have never seen a center catch a TD, and multiple people were like, well, then you didn't watch Iowa versus Ohio State. Well, I didn't score.
A touchdown.
Yeah, that's true. I have still seen multiple people catch a touchdown, though. I've seen several linemen on this go-to play. I'm not offended. When we called it polecat, I never really understood why it was called polecat and why LeVar came up with that.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with 3 things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food. To go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years, but it's time for something new. It's still where you need to go for deer divots and door dings, as well as damaged dashboards. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Why not say, when your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier? I think Dad's going to love that. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Be a deer and call Premier Auto Body in North Liberty.
And
is this supposed to kind of look like a whiskers or something on
sure.
You draw it up? Isn't that
maybe?
Word? I don't know.
I think that the swinging gate is just kind of your blanket term for when you take the line and you move them all to one side of the ball.
Yeah.
And that is what happened here. So most of the time you're going to use that in like a PAT field goal situation, but you know, they used it on the 33-yard line.
I love this play.
It's amazing.
It's a great drop. Tyler Warren, too. The guy played six different positions. And, like, you know how we do sometimes where it's like Travis Hunter right now. It's like, wow, he played DB. He does punt returns. He does wide receiver. It's great. Or right. Who's the dude at Michigan back today? He got nominated for the Heisman. Peppers.
Yeah, Jabari Pepper.
Yeah, tell you that. None of them ever threw in center into that mix.
I tackled Peppers, by the way.
Tyler Warren did. Oh, good. They'll do a little podcast high five.
Thank you. Yeah, he was talk about an assignment when we played him that week. We were concerned.
I mean, you had reason to believe that, sure.
Yeah, on the old punt team, Kevin and I were looking at each other in the front row of the punt meeting that week. Like, we got I think his name's Jabari Peppers, right? Is it Jabari or is it?
I think it's
Jabril.
Jabril. Yeah, I was gonna say it doesn't sound right.
Jabril Peppers. Went on to play for the Browns. Never was like he might still be on the Browns or in the NFL. I don't think he's ever done anything super elite at the next level, but he was considered like one of the best all around athletes. He was basically Travis Hunter before Travis Hunter, back in 2016. And we were, I was, let's just say Coach Wallace put an emphasis on tackling this guy.
That would make sense. Yeah. I think as a punt coordinator, again, I've never done the job, but tackling him seems better than the other option.
He'll score and make it hurt. So fun to see the Polecat. Always love to get tagged in that stuff. If you guys ever see stuff like that, tag me in it. By the way, want to take a quick second. This is all the way back to a month and a half ago, and many of you saw us at the Back Pocket event. They still have a few straggling four packs of HBAM Hops by a Million. Yeah. And we haven't mentioned it, so we haven't like really been sending the army to go and get it. If you guys want a little HBAM, a little Hops by a Million, there is still a limited number of four packs. Go and get yourself the last bit because it's not coming back until next year. And I don't know when next year. Like, we have to still have that conversation, right? Hops by a Million, still available. Back Pocket Brewery, Coralville, Iowa. Go get you some.
What so we're talking about the people.
Yeah. So I want to just quickly talk about the cross country travel. Because it does seem to be, by the record, it seems to be a factor.
Yeah, it's not going great.
Right. Now, but here's the deal. I just saw this clip on Pat McAfee's show today, and I'm going to bring that up.
Oh, is this Coach Cignetti?
It sure is.
This is a great clip.
And we're a big fan of Cignetti.
Those they've been making out?
We're going to...
Yeah, Coach, the Big Ten obviously expanded west, and I'm just wondering, like, how does that affect your travel schedule? Are you guys able to go out on Thursdays, and do you think it's as big deal? I think you guys were the only win up until this past weekend out west. Do you think it's as big of a deal as they've been making out?
Oh, that's a good question. So yeah, I got a certain way I do things, right? And I've learned from a lot of people, but, like, I like to have our Friday walkthrough here and our meetings here. So the guys don't miss class in the morning. And I like to get to the hotel as late as possible. I don't like spending a lot of time in a hotel, and we'll get there, feed them, maybe have a quick meeting in the evening and get up and play. So, you know, my weight guy and my director of football ops, they've got all these designs, you know, like go out Thursday, this is what you got to do. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I mean, we played out at Weber State, Utah State, some of those other places before, you know what I mean? No. We ain't doing that, guys. So, you know, we're going to get there as late as possible. Okay, we're going to wake up and we're going to play the game and we're going to come back. That's what we did. We got to the hotel about 8 o'clock at night, right? Ate our meal, went to bed, woke up, played 3:30, kicked their ass, and came home.
I mean,
I like this. I like that he's just, we're not on a vacation. We're here to play football. So we're just going to go fly out, play football, and leave when we're done playing football.
I mean, I like that he's the newest coach in the Big Ten. They're undefeated. And he's on Pat McAfee's show saying, yeah, we'll just show up, kick your ass and leave.
Yeah, I mean, he's been like this since forever. Like the minute he showed up to Indiana. Yeah, I win, Google me. We're going to beat Ohio State and Michigan. And he threw in Purdue. It's their rival because it's their rival. But I don't think everyone was overly concerned about that. But regardless, like, he's always been a very confident guy. Like, this is just his brand. He's going to do this until he's not coaching football anymore. And actually, he's even when he's not coaching football, I guarantee you when he's, I don't know, he's ordering like pasta or something at a restaurant, he's going to have the same bravado.
you think when they ask him, like, you just tell me when to stop. He's like, I'll tell you when to fucking stop. Just keep cranking it.
Oh, really? Oh, no, I was just going to let you go until I didn't like it.
Yeah. I'll let you know when I've had enough cheese.
I order the chicken Alfredo here. Google me.
Yeah. Do you want an appetizer? You're goddamn right I do. I've been here every week for the last 2 months.
So here's a note, though, I like about that interview as well. I feel like in football, like technology and sports, and we have all this data, science, this amazing research. We know so much more now than we do even like 20 years ago, 10 years ago, right? For like he mentions where there's all this stuff saying like, oh, we're going to go on Wednesdays.
Yeah, he's talking about the strength coach there. I don't know if anybody caught that. He's talking about his strength coach and his director of ops, which are really important positions in the, you know, director of ops is basically the guy who's making sure the travel schedule, the hotel set up, the meal is right, what food you got at the meal, the buses are set up to pick you up at the airport, take you to the thing. Like they've got all of that under their stuff. Then he's talking about the strength guy, because the strength conditioning staff is usually the ones who are like, hey, we need to make sure these guys' bodies are physically ready to play. So the strength staff probably went to him and they're like, hey, we should go out there a day early. We'll do this whole thing where we acclimate, we kind of get that jet lag out on Friday. We get an extra night's sleep out there to kind of sleep that off. That way we'll be good when Saturday comes. And Coach Sig is just like,
no.
You know what though? We'll just get there late, wake up and play, you know?
Which this is how I feel about a lot of different things in football. And again, we're in like advanced stat era and all this other stuff, right? I think we just overthink things sometimes.
Probably.
Like sometimes we have too much data and we're overthinking it where like, I don't know, like Alabama will go play USC in the 60s and 70s. And we're just going to go play. We're not going to overthink.
Well, it makes me think about an article that I saw last week or a stat that I think Doctorman brought it up on the game notes.
Sure.
Was like the last time that Washington played at Iowa. And I could be butchering this, but it's something similar.
It was the 60s. Yeah.
Maybe before that, though, or maybe one of the first times that Washington played Iowa was when Niall Kinnick's time, and the quarterback for the Huskies that year also ended up dying in service of the country, like on a mission.
Rest in peace.
So the quarterback of that game in like 1930, whatever, Huskies, and whatever, that's a cool stat. Not cool that he died, but like a cool stat to look back on almost 100 years later. But like, how did they? I don't think they were flying 747s out from Washington State to Iowa City back then. Like, these boys rode cross country probably on a train.
I don't know.
And they came over and they didn't even, they hardly wore helmets, Grant.
When were blimps popular? Way before that, but
definitely before. I mean, the Hindenburg pretty much ended that. I think the Hindenburg was before. I don't think they were taking blimps. Let's just put that out there. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they came over. Who cares about science? Half of these guys probably got off work to go get on the passenger train. No. They came over as a team. They put their leather helmets on. They played a football game.
Let's. When the Browns were on Hard Knocks back in. I mean, I think I was in high school when it was going on. But there's that ad that. Offensive line coach, and he was like, we won two world wars on push-ups, sit-ups, and pull-ups, and you're over here stretching? Do you think our boys were stretching before they stormed the beaches of Normandy? It's like, you don't need to stretch, you
pussies.
Yeah.
God. There's something said.
Hard Knocks moment.
Yeah. There's something to be said, though, about that. Now, on the other side of things, something's going on because teams aren't winning when they cross the WAC. No.
Right. And we got some long trips this weekend.
Who's playing? Somebody's going all the way out to Maryland. Is it USC?
USC is going to Maryland. UCLA is going to Rutgers.
I mean, that is as far as you can travel.
Yeah.
I saw UCLA is traveling the most this year. They're going like 26,000 miles.
Yeah. And they made a good point on the broadcast last week. They also went to Hawaii, which is crazy.
That's tough. Yeah. The Rainbows.
Rainbow Warriors, shout out. Yeah. Sneaky this year.
Are they, though?
I mean, they've lost to the competition they're supposed to lose to, but I mean, I thought they were going to be worse.
Here are my thoughts, because I think somebody on Patreon asked about the thoughts of, like, is there some legitimacy to this travel thing? Like, why? I see it as two things. Why would it be a factor? And then how do you mitigate it? Like, what do you do? Obviously, Coach Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers, they're not doing a whole lot. Getting to the hotel at 8 p.m., wow, that's... I mean, we got there at like 4:30, 5 o'clock sometimes, but not 8 p.m. Like, we ate dinner at the hotel.
Is that also... Is that also smarter that he's just eliminating time for other stuff to happen? Like, you, all you got time for is resting and football.
Like, I guess
you got time to go mess around, do something stupid.
No, you. I mean, it's not like we were allowed out of the hotel or like you. That wasn't part of the thing. It was like we would show up at the hotel at earliest about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock special teams meeting, 5:30, sometimes depending, 6 o'clock dinner. After dinner, you'd go. And you go back to your room and hang out. 8:30, position meetings. 9 o'clock, snack. 9:30, 9:45, lights out. So there's not like a lot of room, like where, like, you know, you fly into Minneapolis and like the boys are walking the streets of downtown Minnie. Like, it's, that's not happening. I do think there's something like there's. I think that the biggest thing about the travel part is. When you have to fly to, and I don't know what a flight, I don't know, Grant, pull me up a flight from Cedar Rapids, flight time from Cedar Rapids to Seattle or somewhere out there. How long would that take direct? Find that for me. It's not, it's longer than when you're flying to Lincoln or you're flying to Minneapolis, of course, right? So there's things to get done on a Friday. He, you know, Coach Cignetti,
3.5 hours.
Yeah, 3.5 hours. So, and I guess when you go that way, you're actually gaining an hour or two, depending on where you're going to play. So that helps a little bit. But 3.5 hours, if you want to be there and check into the hotel, you got to leave at 12:30. You know, I guess 1:30 at the latest. But that means everything that Friday has to move up. He's talking about the meetings. He's talking about the classes, like everything. And then the biggest thing is physically, you're sitting on an airplane. Like, everybody knows what it's like to sit on an airplane. You might get up once or twice to piss.
It's one of my least favorite things.
It's horrible. And you get there and you stand up and you pop your ears and you're like, oh, I do not feel like I should go run some sprints.
Right.
And like, even the next morning you get a decent sleep, but you're dealing with the stress of being a Division I athlete and you got meetings, you're trying to watch film, last minute film prep, adrenaline of the game. Like, you don't really get out of that jet lag. You just don't. So I think the Thursday idea is something to consider. I think it's just going to be it's something you have to deal with. I just think it's something you have to deal with.
Well, this is, the NFL has been doing this too, where it's like, oh shoot, we have to go play in London. What are we doing? Like the Jaguars are just doing a residency over there. They're just staying. Now, granted, they have two games over there for some reason because Roger Goodell hates them. But it's like, we talked to Tristan about it when he was on here about going to Germany. He's like, yeah, we just got there and we didn't have a ton to do some of the days, but like it was better than trying to adjust and acclimate. And I think that's really the biggest thing with this is the time zones. Like Washington, the game is starting way at like 9 a.m. their time over here, right? Where they're used to these later Pac-12 starts. Or like I think about Miami going and playing Cal. Not only is it crazy far away, when that game ended, it was 3 a.m. in Miami.
Yeah, in Florida time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I think as much as the plane stinks, I think it's also like, hey, I'm just tired because I'm not used to this. I just got here.
And there's no way to do that. It's like you're not going to tell your players, hey, this week we're going to, you know, there's no way you can do that. They have classes, right? They have practice. There's no way for like Monday of that week, they can shift their schedule and be like, all right, everybody, your sleep schedule this week is 3:30 a.m. to noon.
Can you imagine like you get an email from your professor, hey, as you guys know, a couple football players in theater 101, because of this, going to help them acclimate. Class is starting at 6 a.m. this week.
No, it'd have to be like 6
p.m. We got to beat Cal.
It would be like a 9 p.m. class.
Yeah, class is starting at 11:30, guys. Hey,
we have 11 p.m. tonight. We have class because the football players will still be 4 or 5 hours away from going to bed this week on their current schedule. So we're just going to have to act.
Oh, do you guys not want us to win the ACC this year?
Yeah. How much do you care about beating Clemson, right?
at the in the ACC championship. Grant high on Clemson, by the way. Big Clemson guy this year.
I don't even – I just think that – I mean, I don't even – it's not just me. I think they're the favorites to win the ACC. They're basically a coin flip to win it right
now. You're right. So that's that. I had down here – we just didn't talk about it, but somebody was like, hey, we want your guys' reaction or your thoughts on Connor Stallions on the Bussin podcast claiming that as far as he knew, and he seemed to know a lot, Iowa and Michigan State – happens to be the matchup this weekend also – are the only ones in the Big Ten that don't have people designated to steal signs from the other teams.
Oh, this is the Integrity Bowl now.
This weekend is the Integrity Bowl. And in fact, we should create a championship for that. There should be a
trophy of Abraham Lincoln, just honesty.
Honest Abe Bowl. Can you imagine if the afterlife is real and old Abe Lincoln's up there somewhere, down somewhere? I don't know where he is.
Oh,
and he's looking down, and people are just like, he's like, they call me Honest Abe, huh? Man, I was lying to everybody.
Well, I do like to imagine that Abe Lincoln is up there in heaven. It's got to be even crazier too. Like, I mean, I'm sure when he was alive, he thought he was an honest guy, but can you imagine? Like, I don't think he was thinking, oh, they're going to carve my face into a mountain in South Dakota.
Talk about Honest Abe, huh?
I think he was very comfortable with the idea of like, oh yeah, I'm the president. Someone probably assumes I'm an honest guy. Like now carving face into mountain in South Dakota, where I'm not even sure he's ever been before.
Probably never visited. But you know what? It's funny that politics now has gotten to be one of the least trusted positions that you can hold. Like, I don't think anybody believes a word out of Trump or Kamala's mouth. They just know like everything is a lie.
This is a little more political for Connor Stallions discussion, but I think that isn't that what our country's founded on, was we didn't trust the British government and then we made our own country.
I'm fairly certain that it was close to that. Yeah. We've talked about how I'm not a history geography guy, but I'm pretty sure that we had some issues with the parliament. Yeah.
But to answer your question with Connor Stallions, we did cover this in Taglines on Patreon when the interview came out. So go check that out if you haven't seen it yet, but I don't know if I believe it 100% either, if I'm going to be honest, because think of it, if everyone's got a secret guy or whatever that's stealing place, and I know this is allegedly – Connor Stallions is allegedly Michigan's guy. Why am I giving away all the secrets?
Connor?
No, if I'm Michigan State's signs guy.
Oh.
Why am I giving away all the secrets?
I think you just – well, there's a little bit of like baseline. You just have to trust the man Connor Stallions in this instance, which may be hard to do, right? But – I think, you know, he's the guy, so he probably sort of knows the intel for other teams. I'm trying to think back of my time in the facility, like who would have been the guy for this? Because I knew everybody on staff. I knew all of the offensive, defensive assistants, right? One of the GAs or somebody would have been assigned to this. Again, I believe Connor, and I would have told you before this that Iowa probably didn't have a guy because they just do things the right way. Kirk would not like that.
It would, and I think that's nationally understood when he was like, oh, Iowa doesn't have a guy. They're like, yeah, that checks out, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like something.
Iowa? Yeah, that makes sense. And this question was actually asked in the context of, is this why we can't beat the big teams? Like, is this why they always have our number the last few years? I don't think so, but obviously sign stealing probably helps a little bit. So, yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
This goes back to the whole thing of last week when I mentioned that one of the players' parents contacted me and said, hey, until Kirk starts until this program is a pay for play program like all the other big boys, we cannot expect to compete with them. It's just one more thing on the line of like, well, Kirk's not going to do sign stealing. He's not going to pay players to come here just for football. He's going to do things the right way. He's honest. He's all about the trust, building up a great program, a reputation, great men. And that's probably going to hurt you in the win-loss column when it comes down to it. It just is in today's college football. So it's an interesting question. That one came from Adam Huff on Patreon, which Grant just mentioned. We had talked about that on the Patreon. Great, great reason to subscribe, by the way, Grant, is to hear you and me every Tuesday. But another great reason is
football talk.
Is the contribution to the kids. You know, we're coming up very close to Christmas. And there's kids in that hospital that you wave to on Saturdays from home or in Kinnick Stadium that are going to receive a lot of care, a lot of gifts around the holidays throughout their time at that hospital. we do a thing where we donate to the Child Life Fund, which is essentially blankets, toys, video games, dolls, whatever it may be for the kids. And we have been able to, we will cross $50,000 total this year. And that's only because of the generous people that help keep this show alive through the Patreon. And the Patreon is going to give you other perks. You're going to get merch discounts. Some of the top levels are going to get free pieces of merchandise on occasion. Kind of random goodies that we've started sending out this this year. You get ad-free listening, early drops, access to a private Discord, a whole bunch of other stuff. It's yeah. way worth the money, mostly because you're giving to the kids. So thank you, patreon.com/washedupwalkins. In fact,
did you mention did you mention the show with Eichel as well?
If you watch the YouTube, you can just scan this QR code and you can join the army right here. We greatly appreciate it. The show with Eichel, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that goes in the future. Is that what you're talking about, Grant?
Well, I'm saying I'm talking about all the fun things you get.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get everything. If you're part of the Patreon, anything that the walk-ons do, you get.
Yeah.
And that's not the case if you're just your average listener, which is fine. If you just show up for the Monday, Thursday shows throughout the year, that's great. You've gotten a couple extra this season. Cool. But there is a financial side to this, and part of it is the Patreon. So we love you. All the Patreon members who are currently Army members, thank you for being there.
The summary of this is that if you're listening to this right now, we love you, and we're grateful for you.
Absolutely. Let's see. Did I have anything else? Other things I wanted to bring up. Just one last thing.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
Will Compton, and this goes back into the – a little bit of the political thing.
Is this just a Bustin' with the Boys reaction pod?
We're just going to listen to their podcast and recap them. Sure. He's a social media masterclass. They had Donald Trump because they have a connection through Dana White. They had Donald Trump on their pod.
Okay.
Pretty polarizing guy, right?
Is he making like football picks? Is he
They talked football, they talked sports, but they also talked agenda and stuff. And like, obviously that upsets a lot of people. It makes a lot of people excited. Whatever. It gets a lot of clicks, right?
Okay.
They come after him, or the Washington Post sends him like a message immediately after it comes out and goes, hey, we'd like a comment on you guys laughing at one of the things that Donald Trump said. Trump said in the middle of the interview, he's like, I played football. I did not want to get hit. I was a tight end. I did not want to get hit by some guy who had been lifting the weights and maybe grew up in a bad neighborhood.
You know who that was actually? That was a good Mr. Burns from Simpsons impression.
Don't know who that is.
You never seen it's the one bad guy in the show. Never mind. Go ahead though. Finish your point.
So he said this. He's like, I didn't want to get hit by somebody that spends their life lifting weights and they're, you know, potentially grew up in a bad neighborhood. And the Washington Post is like trying to spin this thing like, oh, Will Compton and Taylor Lewan think it's funny that like they don't, you know, the narrative they want to spin from that. So Will gets on Twitter and he does one of his things where he's like, hey, Washington Post, this is what I think about. Here's my comment. And he just farts right in the phone and it just blows up. Of course, like Will being Will, it just goes completely viral.
Yeah.
And it's just a masterclass because they play into like, screw you, you know, establishment media. We're going to do our thing. Be silly, jock, dumb, you know, goofballs. And, he's smart. Yes, he's farting into a camera, responding to the Washington Post asking for comment. But it's calculated. It's so okay. It's amazing. The last thing I wanted to bring up was this right here. This is before we go into our picks. Not a lot of Michigan State preview.
Well, I was gonna say, can we not talk about the game at all?
I just want to talk real quickly because we talked about some of this stuff on the. On the taglines, we've talked about several of these teams. Indiana, we just had a lot of conversation about 23-24, best turnaround. What do you think, Grant?
You'd be pressed to make an argument that's not Indiana.
Yeah,
just looking at this, and also too, Indiana is one of two teams in the country who've not trailed for a second this entire season. Wow. The other one's on that list. It's Army. I'm a fan of pretty much all these schools except for one, for fairly obvious reasons. And I don't know. I applaud some a lot of this too. I like new brands coming up too. And also, sometimes the major brands, as much as people root against them, like Miami's and Nebraska's, like when they're increasing their relevance again, it does bring in good things about the sport.
Sure.
Which is just undeniable. But I like seeing like Army and Navy being in the playoff discussion deep into the season. This is not week one. Like we're in week eight. Is fantastic.
I was just going to ask you, how much would it warm your heart if the 12-team playoff included Indiana, BYU, Army, and or Boise State?
See, this is the issue. Is I love all of the G5 in this is like mid-major in basketball, whatever you want to call it. They're all my favorites. I love all those teams. If I could have just them, I would do it. But you can only have one.
Only one in a 12-team? You can't have two?
There's no chance.
What if they're worth it? What if they're that good?
I mean, I'd like to see it, but I don't know. I don't see the way how stubborn the committee is. FSU went undefeated last year and they still didn't get in.
You're right.
And like, it's not up to me, but I would love to see. Like, I think the decision is going to come out before the Army Navy game, but I think if there needs to be some kind of way where if they're both undefeated, Army Navy is a playoff game.
I would love that. Would be fantastic.
And if Army Navy are both undefeated for this year and they have to play 2 weeks in a row, they're certainly going to have to reconsider how that game works. So I go shoot.
Yeah. Oh, there's a game going right now, huh?
There is. There's always football.
And it's one of your, it's quite honestly one of your probably top three or five favorite teams. It's Western Kentucky.
I do love me some Hilltoppers. I do like the quarterback Caden Veldkamp, stud, legend in the bowl season last year. There was some great football last night. Was La Tech and New Mexico State.
Saw
that. Great game. Double overtime. Us sickos out there rewarded with a great late night finish. It's funny. I was watching it with my mom too, and she was just like baffled that this was even on TV. It's like one in five Louisiana Tech, 2 in 5 New Mexico State. And she was like, she's like, wow, you must really like this stuff. Interesting.
Your mom found out that you like football last night.
Yeah, she just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, let's shift it quickly. Not quickly. We can talk as long as you want, but you know, Iowa plays in a primetime slot at Michigan State. How do we feel? What do we think?
Can we have a moment of honesty?
Mm-hmm.
This game terrifies me.
Really? You're scared?
This game absolutely terrifies me. Yes.
You feel like this is a trap spot or something?
So here's how I feel. I feel like Iowa just played their best game the entire
Easily.
Season yeah. last week. I think we are a better team than Michigan State. Mm-hmm. I think we should win this game. However, I feel like in years past, this is a game where Iowa kind of oopsie daisies a little bit.
I was a part of one. 2017. Yeah, 2017, we went up there for Halloween. It was actually, it had to be week 7, or it was very close to the same time of the season. It was an afternoon ball game, I believe. It might have even gone into the night. I think it was dark when we finished it. They were not good. Michigan State was not good our senior year, 2017. Mm-hmm. And we went up there and we couldn't do anything. It was unfortunate. It was just like everybody came out flat. I won't even say that the environment was good. Like, you know, there was definitely like some select students that had dressed up for Halloween. They were in the spirit and they were rowdy, but the entire stadium was not, it's not what it's going to be on. It's homecoming for Michigan State this weekend. It's a big game for them. It's a night game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this is probably their chance for the biggest. I mean, I guess they have played Ohio State. I don't know who they had at home. But this is probably their chance for their biggest chance for a win in a big environment this year.
Yeah. And I just, you know, when I look at back in our history again, too, and like other years don't matter in this year, but like I think about, we go beat Wisconsin. Great game. A lot of people didn't expect us to win it last year. Yep. Next weekend, we lose to Minnesota. Mm. You know, we go beat Penn State in an amazing primetime game. We're number 2 in the country. Lose to Purdue the next weekend. And I don't know if either of those wins are as momentous, right, as this, as what we got going on now, like in this season against Washington last weekend with Michigan State this weekend, right? I don't know where those teams really line up. Like Purdue wasn't even half bad when we lost to them. Honestly, there was some
They weren't bad, but that Purdue loss was absolutely demoralizing.
But again, it's game you should win. Yeah. For some reason, it kind of – The oopsie daisy happens a little bit. Yeah. And like I said, I believe we are a better team. Both sides of the ball.
Yeah, if we run this thing 100 times, we win the majority.
But some things, concerns. Michigan State has not played a game since October 4th.
They had a bye week, yeah.
And they had a super bye week. Their last game was on a Friday.
Mm.
Right? I think Jonathan Smith, the team's not where I think a lot of people expect it to be right now, right? But I'm assuming he's a good enough coach where if you give him 2 weeks, he can have a decent game plan.
Here, a little insight on that, because I did watch his press conference.
Okay.
He said during their bye week, and this is interesting, during their bye week, they practiced one time.
Oh, so they went rest.
They went rest instead of a bunch of prep. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't get in the film room and they did a bunch of film work on Iowa, but taking that film to the field and repping, like, you know, they put the scouts out there and they run Iowa stuff to work against it. Mm-hmm. I think they only had one practice, he said, on Wednesday of bye week. So last week, Wednesday, a week ago today, they were, and then they did like a small walkthrough Sunday night, I think, to like get ahead on Iowa. But then other than that, they've just had their normal week. So that actually feels small to me. It might mean that they're rested body wise, like physically, they might feel better. But mentally, I don't know if they're going to be as far ahead as you might maybe concerned of. Another thing.
Okay.
Talking to, and anybody who listened to the iColt pod already today, or if you're going to listen to it, talked about Aiden Chiles. Guy's dangerous, I guess. He can make plays. he's dangerous, like a double-sided sword, right?
Sure.
He can make plays for them, but oftentimes, I guess, this is what I'm told, when he tries to extend plays, he can make some bad decisions.
100%. I think on taglines, we compared him to like Talia Tagovailoa at Maryland in years past.
No one's ever done more and less for his team at the same time. I view the Iowa defense, who had a really, really good game the other day outside of, you know, a couple early long drives that they had to find themselves in. I just see like a second half of the year Phil Parker defense taking advantage of a quarterback like that. Like, this might be a four interception game.
Yeah, and we've seen this before too, where like in, again, like the kind of oopsie-daisy area, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think we went to played at Maryland on a Friday night a while ago, and like we went to Rutgers in a weird spot. And everyone's kind of like, oh, I'm not really sure, kind of like the same thing as that right now. And then we force a million turnovers and the game is comfortable.
Yeah, Cooper had the pick six. And
yeah, like this, that stuff happens as well too. And I think you're 100% right that I do love our team against guys who are frequent with turnovers.
Yeah.
My other thing, though, with Michigan State as well, is that their record's not great, but I don't know if any other team started off with a tougher Big Ten schedule than them.
They've had it rough. They've played Ohio State and Penn State, right? Or Ohio State and Oregon.
They went Maryland and they won, which I don't know how I feel about Maryland either this year. But and then it was Ohio State, Oregon.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
And then they also, I think they had a close loss to Boston College, who's okay. But yeah. So I don't know if they're, I feel like they might be a little, I don't know. I think a lot of people just look at 3-3 or wherever their record is and it's like, oh, this is like a nothing team.
Where I think it's going to be, it's going to be a cakewalk. It's not.
I don't think this is going to be as easy as some people are portraying this game to be.
Sure. The good thing about that, Grant, and just to calm your nerves a little bit, is the team knows that.
Yes.
Right. Like we on the outside,
I hope they're aware who they're playing.
We feel a sense of like we don't have control. Like, oh, I hope they know they're better than they know. Right. They understand.
Yeah. Well, this is my like fan to fan.
Sure. No, yeah, I get right it. I get it.
Where it's like, hey guys, like if you're expecting 21-0 first quarter.
No, that's not right. I think it could happen, but it probably won't. I think Iowa wins this game. I do. Let's move into the important stuff.
Okay.
DJ Kevin.
Guy's not even here.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Can I say one more thing?
Guy's not even here for a segment. I'm saying Kevin. And yeah, you can say whatever.
I also think I was going to win this game.
You're going to win this game.
I think we're going to win.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
I'm glad you clarified that for the people.
Because sometimes, like, I don't know, sometimes I want to make some points, but I don't want to, I can't have everything where it's like, I don't think we're going to win every game 60-0, guys, okay?
Right.
That's not how I am, all right.
Yeah. But I'll go first.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, good. I'll go first here. I am going to sort of pick on the fly. I've got two picks that I know for sure. But then I'm going to scroll through here and I'm just going to maybe I'm going to make some just some initial sort of off the cuff stuff. We'll start up top. I'm on the DraftKings CFB lines page. Starts obviously with the early games. I see I see Oklahoma State at BYU.
What do you see about that game?
Well, BYU is favored by 9.5 points. And Oklahoma State has been what I would call a disappointment this year. I would think in most people's eyes.
I would say 100% yes.
This sort of feels like one of those games where, oh, it's BYU. They're, you know, they're in the playoff projections right now. They got a chance. Them and Ohio State, like, or Iowa State, they've got a chance to win the Big 12, go undefeated, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Those teams are going to get tested in spots where they're not normally, they're not really expecting it, right? And I was wrong last week on the West Virginia. I thought that was a spot for Iowa State.
Sure.
I think this might be a spot for BYU. I don't think they lose the game. I do think that Oklahoma State covers the 9.5 points and makes this a little bit closer than people think.
9.5's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points.
Also, Nebraska, I mean, like, there's the they have good players on that team.
Sure, they have scholarship players. Yeah. I mean, they have NIL money too. Like, there's they could come out and play
you're,
at any point.
You're buying low right now.
I'm buying low.
Yeah, you were waiting for the dip
on Okie State football, and I got it. I got him.
Oh, did Nebraska, you see, by the way? Hold on. This is a major story. Okay. Skipping over.
Sure.
Gundy was on the IR for apparently getting headbutted by a cow earlier this week.
Is this real?
Yes.
Okay, let me hold on. And the injured. Okay, let me. Oh, okay. Oh, dear God.
If I was getting super trolled, I would be. Yeah, no, this is on three. Okay.
Mike Gundy suffers gross injury due to his cattle, quote, full of blood. Mike Gundy might show up on Oklahoma State's injury report after an incident with his cattle over the weekend. The Cowboys are currently 3-3 and have three straight losses. To make matters worse, the team's next game is against 13th-ranked BYU this Friday. It's been tough sledding for Okie State, but Gundy's biggest loss of the year wasn't near a football field. The Cowboys didn't have a game this past weekend, and that gave the electric college football coach some time to spend with his cattle. It didn't go well. Well, this is quote, I had a little running with my cattle over the weekend, and I guess they've been watching us play, and I got headbutted. So I've got a bad eye that I didn't think would be particularly enjoyable for people when they were looking at my pretty face in a live interview. More importantly, it's full of blood, and I get dizzy.
That's good.
So Mike Gundy absolutely 100% got a concussion by one of the cows that he owns this weekend. So that's tough.
Do you think he's going to try and do the Dan Lanning thing? And he's like, well, I was so concussed, I thought there was 12 players out there.
Absolutely, yeah.
But there was actually 10.
I think this is that gives me more confidence in the Cowboys. I would say.
Well, do you think now this is going to get the boys fired up a little bit more?
Yeah, they're playing for Gundy this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not going to let a cougar or a cow take them down.
This is like, you remember that high school football coach that like faked his own death to try and fire up the team?
I don't, but that sounds unbelievable. Okay. I'll go to my second pick here. Nebraska, Indiana. Now, this feels a little bit like last week's Rutgers-Wisconsin game where I'm like, oh, this is like a Big Ten game of the week right here. And then like one of the teams goes out and wins by 3 touchdowns. I think this one's going to be closer. I normally, Grant, I don't know if you know this, I normally take the favorite when I look at lines. If I'm not doing an over under, I'm usually on the favorite.
See, I'm almost the complete opposite. I almost in you can go look at all my picks. I almost exclusively do underdogs.
Well, I'm on the underdog in this one as well. Similar to Oklahoma State, not quite as big of a line. Unfortunately, the underdog's Nebraska. I think this is going to be like an instant classic, one of those BTN instant classics. Nebraska, Indiana. Nobody thought this would be, you know, the game that you're looking at on the slate and you're like, this is the one I want to sit down for. I think this is going to be a great game. I'm going to take Nebraska plus 6.5.
Okay.
I've got.
No one's surprised by this because they all know you're a Nebraska
fan. Yeah, closet Nebraska fan, of course. Nebraska volleyball just dominating recently, by the way. Still only one loss on the year. They're looking good.
Very, very strange.
You fired me up a little bit. With the Army talk. This past week.
Okay.
And Army's playing at home versus East Carolina. They're minus 15.5. I'm going to take the favorite here. I'm taking Army, minus 15.5.
I like what you're doing here. They have to be pretty good ATS this season.
You would think so.
Because
let me scroll down. Wow, Alabama at Tennessee. Alabama minus -3. I don't know if I'm going to touch that one. What looks good? Could bet on Grant's Texas State against Old Dominion. Probably not going to do that, though. I'll hold off. You know what? Oh, God. USC goes all the way to Maryland, but it's only a 7.5 point line. Oh, okay.
Let's put our head together on this. I'll tell you right now. I picked Maryland.
I was going to pick Maryland.
Let's do it together. Let's put our heads together on this one.
Okay. Maryland plus 7.5, man.
We can do this together. Right?
We can win together. I was going to say Maryland plus 7.5. I found another one that I like, though. LSU.
Why not us?
Why not us? LSU minus -2.5 at Arkansas.
Ooh. Okay.
Did you have Arkansas?
I thought we were teaming up here.
No, just on the one.
Now you're just division.
I'm drawing a line in the sand.
Okay.
Before you go, I'm going to drop Kevin's picks quickly.
And you had 2.5?
Yeah, minus -2.5. All right. So those are my picks for the week. As you can see, I'm doing more than three again. I'm getting suckered in by Grant's enthusiasm for this. It is what it is. Kevin's picks on the and you don't have to write these down, Grant, because they're in the message, but he has Iowa minus -5.5. He's on the Hawks. He has Nebraska plus 6.5. So Kevin's a closet Nebraska fan as well. He also has that Nebraska-Indiana game under 50.5. Rutgers minus -4.5. Illinois plus +3.5 against Michigan. And the Illinois-Michigan game under 43.5 points. Wow. Love that.
Okay.
Those are Kevin Ward's picks.
He said, wow, like you didn't get the text earlier and read it.
Oh, I didn't read the pick specifically. I just saw he sent a bunch. That's the first time I was going through them. So the floor is yours, Grant.
All right. I don't think we have as many picks as last time, but we got.
By the way, somebody, I should have done this. I did not. So you guys listening cannot look forward to this. But anyone who's familiar with the John Gruden Nicey, they wanted that who after each one of your picks. They like me to play the soundbite.
If I had like three picks, sure. But no, we have too many.
Okay.
For that, in my opinion.
Next week.
Rutgers minus -4.5, taking them too long of travel for UCLA. Louisville plus +4.5 versus Miami. Miami has been playing hopscotch with that ESPN win meter or whatever percent chance of winning in their recent games. The slip up's coming. And I'm going to take Louisville in this spot. I love Northwestern against Wisconsin. Say what you want about look ahead games or whatever. I like Northwestern in this spot, plus +7. In that little nice little stadium they got there. Sneaky home advantage that they got.
They do, yeah. Lake advantage.
Trust in the system. Clemson, minus -21.5. Going to keep doing it until it doesn't work. Oklahoma, minus -3. I don't know if you could buy lower on a team right now than the Oklahoma Sooners. If I see them favored, my first question, why are they favored? What does Vegas know that I don't know? Taking them, minus -3. Cal, minus -10. Been a machine this year so far. The Calgarithm. Take it. Minus -10. Georgia Tech, plus +11.5.
I thought about Georgia Tech.
I feel like every year, either it's Georgia or Notre Dame goes to Georgia Tech and something bad happens.
You hate Notre Dame too, though. So,
hate's a strong word.
It's dislike.
But that's a word you might want to use with Notre Dame. What else we got here? I'm taking Tennessee. I hate it, but I'm taking Tennessee. I don't trust either of these teams. This is the meltdown game of the week. Whatever, you go check Twitter halftime of this fan base. Go check the Rivals message boards halftime of this game after the game. There will be a meltdown.
They're calling for heads for sure.
Well, this is basically a playoff game, if I'm just being honest.
It is actually, yeah. Because they both have one loss, right? Game.
Yeah. I don't know what path to the SEC championship or what path to the playoff each team has after this. I mean, it's the SEC, so I'm sure like Paul Feinbaum will go petition to get all.
Because it's going to be Georgia and Texas, right?
Is it? Like, is Georgia looking amazing recently? I'm not sure.
Vandy?
I would love that. That would be great. Oh,
yeah.
That would be, again, we're talking about all my underdogs getting in there. Get Diego Pavio running around out there versus Ashton Jeanty. That'd be my game of the week. Game of the year potential.
That'd be amazing.
I'm going to agree with Kevin. I'm taking Illinois plus +3.5 and the under 43.5. I just see this as the most Big Ten game of all time and just two people running at each other for an hour. I don't see, I think that's just don't overthink it.
Michigan, that's actually a great pick now that I remember that Michigan's pass game is like worst in the country right now.
They did beat USC with 33 passing yards.
Oh my.
But that game went over.
So, oh shit.
Say what you will about it. But again, don't overthink it. Arizona, -3. I feel like people forgot about them taking them here. Maryland +7.5. Arkansas. Arkansas's not that bad, dude. They're in my not that. Are they good? Are they going to win the SEC? No.
They're in your not that bad section.
They're not that bad. Like they, I
okay, but been, but if but if LSU beats okay, but if LSU beats Arkansas this weekend by somewhere between 3 and 10 points, that still classifies as Arkansas being like not that bad.
Yeah. Sure.
So that's very possible that like LSU. It's not like LSU. The line's like 10. It's like 2.5.
Do I have like a crystal ball here? Am I supposed to tell you the exact score as well?
It sounds like it. It sounds like
all I said. You're so confident. The knowledge that we have so far.
Okay.
Arkansas not that bad. I thought they were going to be worse. Taking them +3, and then I fell for the trap last weekend, and I fell for it in week one, and it's definitely not going to work this weekend either. I'm taking West Virginia +3 against Kansas State. That line is screaming at you. Take West Virginia. I don't know. Kansas State was all over the place, and they got to travel again to Morgantown. I don't know. I'm going to take West Virginia, but I absolutely hate it.
Stinks.
I have to. It is screaming at you.
Oh, well, and Georgia plays Texas this weekend.
You host a college football show. Where is the – you just now finding out about 2 top 10 matchups.
Yeah. It's par for the course with me, Grant. You just – I figure things out week by week.
Are you going to watch this one?
Yeah, we talked about that, actually. Grant brought that up on the old on the taglines, another thing. And I told Grant that if the Georgia-Texas game, I will be watching the first half at least. And then if it's a good game, which I think it will be.
But like, you saw what happened when you went to bed early with Alabama and Georgia, and you missed one of the greatest games we might have ever had.
Sure, yeah.
Do you think you could give up like an hour of sleep for football?
It's gonna be tough. It's
because you know there's on Sunday there's this like show you got to do.
I'll tell you what, the kid still wakes up at 6:30 every morning.
Yeah, so like, the kid's excited to talk about football. The NFL, the kid's got to get up the London games in like an hour. Of course,
yeah.
The kid's up at 6:30.
Yeah, they're watching. Kinley loves the Jaguars in London. By the way, whatever the line is, Kinley's taking the Jaguars this weekend.
You want to see the Chris Berman video? By the way,
yeah, show it to me. Let's finish with
This is play us out, Chris Berman. Here's Chris Berman and the Sometimes Band.
Fastest three minutes for Week 9, 2004.
Grievously undefeated New England. Now into town comes 7-0 Philadelphia. The end around to Hines Ward. Steelers first possession. They ran the ball with the authority. I guess so. 252 yards.
I guess so.
To 23 for the Eagles. Ben Roethlisberger, only the second rookie to begin his tenure at quarterback at a 6-0 start in the last 35 years. 14-0 Steelers early. Hines Ward doing the flap. Eagles flapping flapping their gums. 27-3.
So yes, I've absolutely seen this. I didn't know that it had a name.
Yeah,
but that is a great. He crushes that little rundown for sure.
What?
That takes me back. That actually takes me back to like Monday morning, 7th or 8th grade. I used to walk over across the street from the school my mom taught at to a friend's house. We would then walk to the middle school, but we'd sit there and watch ESPN before school.
Oh, it's like at school?
No, before school. Before we left the house to walk over to middle school, we'd watch ESPN.
Oh yeah, you got to see the top 10 plays before you leave. Oh,
dude, the top 10 was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. SportsCenter peaked around like when they had the side column on the right. And you could see like upcoming, it was like Ray Lewis versus so-and-so this
somebody
weekend.
In Miami nightclub.
Like, yeah. It's like, well, we got to wait 5 more segments. I mean, we can sit through the Kevin Garnett talk and then we got to hear about this later.
You're the biggest, you're the best. I don't know how we found you, but you're the best sports fan, best add to this show that we could have ever had. Thank you guys for listening. Another preview show. We got to do a little preview talk because Grant demands it. And he's honestly if this show would suck ass if it was just me and Kevin, or if it was just me. So, you know, just being honest, thank you to everybody for continuing to show up. Check out that Patreon. You're going to hear it in the outro. Again, we're trying to give big to the kids this year. We'll be back tomorrow for the 5-10-5 show with Coach Justin Lima. And then we're recapping the game on Monday and college football. Who knows? Maybe I'll stay up to watch the Georgia-Texas game and we'll have thoughts on that. All coming your way. We'll see you then. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.